Hello. Come on, guys. It's the last session of the day. We need some energy. So I'm going to do it one more time. Hello.
Hello.
There you go. I'm AJ. I'm a product manager in System Center Configuration Manager team. And this is Hassan.
My name is Hassan Kara. I'm a program manager. What that means is I'm on the engineering side, and AJ is on the marketing side here.
So we are going to talk about application management in System Center 2012 Configuration Manager. I'm really excited to talk about it. It's a new concept, new features that we have introduced in System Center 2012. So very happy to talk about software distribution and the way it has changed in 2012. And we would also like to introduce what's coming up next in Service Pack 1. So we are going to concentrate on how to create, deploy simple applications, what the new application model is, and talk about how we have made this whole application delivery people-centric, understanding what the user is trying to do and providing the best experience for the user. So we are going to talk about user device affinity. We are also going to talk about how you deploy simple apps. But at the same time, you will be able to create different complex rules behind those apps. So you can deploy these apps in multiple different situations. So that's what we're going to talk about. And ultimately, we would want to show you how we have made efficiencies in content distribution and how application deployment is easier. So a lot of content to cover today. So we would really appreciate if you hold off your questions and put it towards the end of our session. We will be here even after the session ends. So if you have any questions, you can always come up, and we'll spend as much time with you as possible. We also have some colleagues, Microsoft colleagues, sitting here. And they have challenged us. If we make any mistake, they are going to heckle us and throw some hand fruits at us. And so you will have a good time, I guarantee you that. Either you will have good information, and if not, you'll have some entertainment. With that, let's talk about new application model and what was the need for us to change the way we deploy software. As you all know, today consumerization, or people having multiple devices, is a trend. People use it, I mean, all of us use it, right? We use mobile phones to access our applications and corporate resources. We use tablets and we use laptops. A lot of people are roaming users. And so the traditional method of software distribution, of distributing content by thinking about all the devices and putting content to those devices, that doesn't work anymore in the new environment, in the new challenges that we face. You may have different devices that users are using, different type of applications. So you have virtual applications, you have VDI or hosted desktops, you have mobile apps, and all of those apps have different methods, different ways of installing. And so when you have this traditional method of thinking about different systems and deploying applications or deploying packages to the systems, that doesn't scale very well. It's not flexible. So from a configuration manager perspective, what we did was we completely rewrote the way we distribute software. And we call it new application model. Now, although we did that, I want to reassure you that if you are already using Configuration Manager to deploy software, you still have the earlier method of packages and programs. That's still available for you. We would recommend you to move to the application model, but you can do that after you migrate to 2012, have your packages there, and then slowly migrate those packages to the application model. So you can still do that. What this diagram shows you is the old method of deploying packages, which is you have, as I said, you have multiple devices, you have collections, and then you advertise those programs and packages to these collections. What we have changed is that now we are thinking about the user first. So we think about the user, think about what the user context and relationship is with all the other devices, and then we deploy these applications to the users. So when the user moves, you have applications, appropriate applications and appropriate experience given to that user on that device. So it's more dynamic that way. So let's talk about that application model. Application model, the first thing is these are the building blocks of this new application model that I talked about. We call it user-centric application model, and it's made up of key attributes. So the first thing is general information. The application is made up of general information, administrator properties, where the admin can go in and organize these apps, give friendly name, give groupings of applications that will help you simplify your management. So when you go to the console, you can group those and make sure that applications are identified quickly, and you can, when you monitor those applications, you have contextual information to those applications. So you can do that when you define an app. The second thing is end user metadata. That's where, you know, we think about user centricity. Help the user out by providing friendly name for the application, providing friendly information and description for that application. So when the user goes in our new application catalog, software portal, then they can search for that application using a friendly name. They can just say PDF, and they should be able to search for Adobe Acrobat Reader. So that is the end user metadata that you can provide in that app when you're defining that app. And then the real building block of that application. That is what makes that application management dynamic, which is deployment type. The deployment type is something that an administrator builds when he's defining an app. The first thing is detection method. This is net new in System Center 2012 Configuration Manager. We are able to detect the state of that application on the client, meaning Configuration Manager is able to understand whether that app is installed or not, whether that app should be installed or not. The way we do it is we are able to understand the product code and able to inspect on an ongoing basis whether the application is there or not. The second thing is install command in the deployment type. So some applications have command line instructions and command line way of doing it. So MSI, for example, you have MSI exec slash whatever, whatever. You can do that. Some don't. For example, AppV doesn't. So you have the option to define that install command when you are defining an application. Most of the times when we create an application, Config Manager is able to understand the install command right from the program package itself. Then you have requirement rules. This is a very interesting thing. Requirement rules, think of it as prerequisites. You know, when you get a software in a box, they say prerequisites, minimum memory, minimum hard disk. You can actually create that type of requirement rule on Config Manager now. You can define those requirement rules by saying, this application should require, the client should have minimum memory, minimum hard disk space, all kinds of things. You can customize it as you want. And then Configuration Manager can go in, and before the app is deployed, before even the app is distributed on the client will be checked for these requirement rules. Once the requirement rules are valid, the client has those requirements, then the application will be installed. So we'll talk about requirement rules more when we go into that section. And the last two things, dependencies and supersedence, are the relationships between different applications. This is a very cool part. Gets me excited. Because now you have multiple apps created in Config Manager console, and you can say, let's say an AppV application is dependent on an AppV client being installed first. So if you are deploying an AppV application, the first thing Configuration Manager will do is look at the rules and say, oh, there is a dependency that AppV client first should be installed on that client before I can install this AppV application. And guess what? Configuration Manager automatically will first install AppV client and then will install that AppV application. So that's dependency. You're dependent on, that application is dependent on other application, and once you have that relationship defined, Config Manager will do the rest. And the second part there is supersedence. Again, very cool. You can actually define supersedence, meaning you can define version control. You can say Adobe Acrobat Reader 10 supersedes 9, version 9. That means Configuration Manager will go in, detect if 9 is already installed. If 9 is installed, then it will uninstall or update 9 to Adobe Acrobat 10. So these are the relationships that you can define between applications in Configuration Manager's new application model. So that was an overview of our new application model. Let me show you the difference between 2007 and 2012. This is very helpful if you already have 2007. We created applications using package and programs. In today's world, in 2012, we have applications. So you define applications, you define deployment types and requirement rules. And I'm going to show you how easy it is to do that. Then you deploy that application, as I said, using a feature called deploy in 2012. In 2007, the way we used to do it was publish an advertisement. So this deploy thing is one time you deploy it to the collection, user collection, and because of our state-based inspection, whenever a user uninstalls that application, Configuration Manager will still be able to either deploy that application, install that application, or make that application available to the user. So you don't have to run advertisements on schedule or frequently as you had to do in 2007. Third part about is compliance. So that was very limited compliance in 2007, where we really didn't know on an ongoing basis if the application is installed, if the user has taken it out. We only knew that the application was first time installed. Then what happened to the application? We didn't really have visibility into it. Of course, you could do some scripting and stuff like that, but we really didn't have compliance baked into the console. In 2012, it's a state-based detection method. As I said, we're able to inspect on an ongoing basis if the application is there. Targeting, we were able to target who gets it, where can it run, collection, user devices, inventory. We could do that. But in 2012, all you have to do is define who gets it. The rest is taken care of by a Configuration Manager. So it's simplified that way. Now, user targeting. We did have user targeting in 2007, but it had issues, to say the least. Issues meaning if you target it to the user, then wherever the user went, whether I was using my own machine client or if I was using a kiosk, those applications that were defined for me followed me. So meaning if I was using a loaner device, the applications given to me, advertised for me, used to be installed on that loaner device as well, which a lot of times I didn't want it or the admin didn't want it, but it happened. So we have made it smarter in 2012. With user device affinity, Configuration Manager is able to understand the context between user and the relationship between that device. If it's not my primary device, I may not get that application. So it's a smarter way of user targeting. Last 2 points about client user experience. We had run advertised programs, way to get your applications. That was kind of a push model. Now we have a pull model as well as a push model, meaning you have software catalog. It's like a software portal that users can go to your corporate internal site, get to Configuration Manager portal, and get applications, self-serve themselves with applications that are available to them. Or you could also get the applications in Software Center as well. So multiple options there, push and pull model, again, making it simpler. And from content management perspective, we had very limited content management in 2007, but now in 2012, we'll be going, and I'll be actually showing you, we have good monitoring. You understand what's happening to your content, whether it is distributed or not, what's happening in the distribution point, and you also are able to get efficiencies out of the content library. So distribution points themselves, you can save some disk space, you can save bandwidth, so you can do some bandwidth control and those kind of things. So those are the improvements that we have done in 2012. So talking about state-based application management, in 2007, as I said, we didn't really have a state-based awareness. It wasn't smart. The content was downloaded. Even if you had that program on the machine, it overwrote that application and still installed it twice. We don't do that in 2012 anymore. We are able to detect the presence of that application. If the application is there, then as an admin, you can define two different activities. One is install, one is uninstall. So you can do define two level of activities. The application is not there, you can install it. If it's already there, the application is there, then you don't have to install it. So the configuration manager will take care of it. And then the other scenario, other end of the spectrum, when you don't want a specific application in your enterprise, you can call out an uninstall option, define that application. So configuration manager will do a compliance check, will see, hey, this application is not supposed to be here, and it will uninstall that application. So you can do two types of activities there, install and uninstall. And then you can define rules, as I said. I will go into those rules, but you can define rules, and those rules are defined once per deployment type, and they're evaluated in real time, meaning when the client is trying to download the software, the application, first thing that will happen is it will check for all requirement rules and make sure that the client is following the prerequisites before downloading the content. So the key takeaway here is that this was not done by the admins. This is a new area, and if you are planning to migrate to 2012, this is something that you need to think about, get familiar with the concept so that you will be able to migrate to the new application model successfully. Talking about state-based application management, requirement rules are really, really important. As I said, those are the prerequisites. So you can define these prerequisites when you are defining applications. You can say minimum hardware requirement, minimum hard disk space, or you can say this is a primary device of a user. So those are kind of requirement rules that you can define, and again, they are evaluated on the client in real time. Requirement rules are based on global conditions. I know there are a lot of these acronyms, names flying around. The concept is simple. You are defining requirement rules, prerequisites. We have made it simple for you by using global conditions, giving you global conditions. Think about them as templates. So these are the foundation of requirement rules. You create a requirement rule, you use global conditions. We have given you templates, so you can just say, I need minimum memory, and you can, that is one of the global conditions. So you can take that global condition and use it for your requirement rule. So you can say, you know, default global condition, memory is greater than 512 MB, as my example says there. That's given to you in Config Manager, so you can just click and choose that. Then you can also customize another global condition. So you can customize it for your, let's say, corporate device. If you had a registry setting for corporate devices, then you can say a global condition for my corporate device, define a registry key there, and use that global condition to different requirement rules for different applications, right? So then application X, for example, you can say this application X should only be installed on my corporate device. And for that corporate device, the requirement rule, you will use this global condition that you have created. So it becomes easier for you to use these global conditions in different requirement rules. Global expressions are combinations of global conditions, right? So you can use different expressions like and or, so you can get more complex as you want while defining applications. If you're defining prerequisites, you can say my corporate device should have 1 gig of memory, free disk space, 500 MB, and the operating system, by the way, should be Windows 7. And only then install this application. So you can get pretty granular in the logic that you want to define in these requirement rules using global expressions. Once that is done, once you have defined requirement rules, another part of defining application is dependencies. So you can define, as it shows in the graphic there, you can define different dependencies. You can say an application requires IE9, for example. If you want to have an Adobe plugin, you can say, unless there is IE9 installed on this machine, you can't install Adobe. And guess what then? Configuration Manager will install IE9 first, and then install Adobe 9. So those are the dependencies that you can define in the application. And then, as I said, supersedence, super simple. You can define supersedence by saying Adobe Acrobat 10 supersedes Acrobat 9, meaning whenever the deployment is done, first thing that Configuration Manager will do is check for the presence of Adobe Acrobat 9. If it is there, then it will uninstall it and replace it with Adobe Acrobat 10. This is something I hope to show it to you today on how simple that is. Right on cue, I want to go to my demo box and show you how to create a simple app and what are the different things we can do there. So let me go to my demo box. Folks back there, let me know when I'm doing a feature. I would definitely zoom it, but if you are not able to see it, just let me know, okay? So I'll spend more time on that specific feature if you're not able to see it. So first of all, this is the new console of Configuration Manager. These are the different applications that I have defined. And as you can see, we still have packages. So you can still use the older concept of packages and programs. And these are the global conditions that I was talking about earlier. So you can use these global conditions. Let me zoom it. You can use these global conditions for your requirement rules. So you can say operating system, free disk space, and all that stuff. But you could also customize these. So you can create global conditions and customize it for your own purposes. So if you have, as I said, corporate device, you can define it here. You can define a registry setting and have your own customized requirement rule. And the good thing about this is I can actually browse directly in my registry as well. So if you had a gold image that you wanted to use, then you can use that template, browse the registry, take some setting, and create a global condition out of that. I'm not going to create a global condition here. I was just showing you, since I talked about global condition. What I really want to do is define a basic application. So here in applications, I'm going to create an app. At this point, I'm going to create an MSI. But as you see here, we have multiple deployment types. I spoke about deployment types earlier. But you have multiple deployment types that Hassan is going to come in and actually talk more in detail about. I just wanted to show it to you here. So multiple deployment types. At this point, I'm just going to do an MSI installer. I'm going to browse that to my Adobe Reader 10. That's the application that I want to define. And yes, I want to do that. So here it is. What has happened is Configuration Manager was able to get into that package, understand the details of that package, and give me some options here. So it detected the name. I could do some user-friendly or admin-friendly information here. Remember, I was talking about different components of the app model. This is where I do the admin data. So the rest of it, I can keep it as is. By default, the install behavior is installed for the system. And we'll go create an app. So this is a simple way of creating an app. It's a little bit slow today. For some reason, my virtual machine is slow. But there you go. I have created a simple app for Adobe Acrobat 10. Let's go to that. App. So this is the app that we have created, Adobe Acrobat Reader 10. And let's go to the deployment type. As you can see here, It created a deployment type for me, and that deployment type was for MSI. So let me show you more details about the dependencies and supersedence that we were talking about earlier. For that, I need to go to properties of this deployment type. As you can see, the content is taken from our share that I listed there. Let me check if it's the right share. Yep. Okay. And then this is where I can define the requirements. So I can add a couple of requirements here. So I want to do requirements for total physical memory. I think this is the actual requirement for Adobe 512 MB. That's the memory. Now I'll do, let's do operating system requirement rule. That's the nice thing about this, that I can select, this is a tree structure, so I can select Windows 7. And all the flavors of Windows 7 are selected. So real simple, real easy. I'll do that. Apply. And then I'll go to dependencies. I don't want to put any dependencies here, but I just wanted to show that, you know, you could do dependencies here. I could add a different dependency if this application was dependent on any other app. So for now, I'm good. I've created a basic app, and that's done. The other part that I wanted to show you was supersedence. For that, I'll go to the actual application properties, not the deployment type properties, and I can see supersedence tab here. For those in the back, this is the supersedence tab. And I'm going to add a supersedence. Basically, what I want to show is Adobe Acrobat Reader 10 supersedes Reader 9. So version 9 is listed here as an application. I'm selecting that application. So the current application will supersede version 9. By default, it's saying that do not replace this app. So what I want to do actually is replace Reader 9 with Reader 10. I want to uninstall it, say OK, and there you go. We have now defined that app, and we've also made sure that if the client had Adobe Reader 9, then Adobe Reader 10 will replace that app. There's one more setting here that I wanted to quickly show. That gives you an option to show when the users go in to our portal. Then the option is whether you want to show the Reader 9 as well as Adobe Reader 10 together in that portal. Because sometimes when you want to publish a new app, you may not want to give users an option to also select or also install an older app. So you can do that from here. You can either specifically allow the users to see both the apps, or you can say, since this is a new app, I don't want my users to see an old app. This is it. They will only see the new app. So that's done. We have now created an app. We have now provided a dependency. But supersedence. We have said that Adobe Acrobat Reader 9 should be replaced with Reader 10. We have seen the deployment type. Let me go back to my presentation and talk about the next step. How do you deploy the app? You have created the app. Now the next part is deployment of the app. So content distribution is important here. We want to distribute content using distribution points. We have made a lot of improvements in it. You can now link distribution points to collections and automatically distribute the content to the relative distribution points. You have distribute content wizard that helps you have multiple packages go to collections and also content library that will be able to reuse the content. So helps you, in disk space, also helps you in bandwidth control. So you can customize time, you can customize the bandwidth utilized to push content out. So a lot of efficiencies can be gained through our content distribution methods. And then content monitoring. I'm going to show you this, but it really is very helpful to understand what is happening once you distribute the content. You know, what is the status of that content? What is, you know, are you able to validate that content? So we are able to do that from the console. You are able to see that graphical information right away. You are able to dig in deeper and get visibility out of what is happening on that content. Application deployment is something that replaces advertisement from Configuration Manager 2007. As I said, deployment, you have to now, once you create an application, you have to deploy the application to a collection. It could be a user collection, it could be a machine collection, and there are two types of deployment purposes. So one is required, meaning like mandatory advertisement in Configuration Manager 2007, and the other one is you are just making it available. So whenever the user wants it, then they can get they can go and get those applications. And there are two ways to make them available. One is you target that application to the user and make it available in that software catalog, the portal that I was talking about. And the next one is device targeted, targeting a device, meaning it will be available in the software center on the client. And as I mentioned earlier, there are two types of actions that you can perform. One is you can install a specific app, or you could define an app and, you know, to for compliance issues, you can uninstall a specific app as well. So just bringing everything together, let's talk about application evaluation flow. As I said, those requirement rules, when you are setting those requirement rules, when the client is trying to get the package, this logic is first inspected. So the first thing that Config Manager will do is to make sure that the requirements are met. If the requirements are not met, the requirement rules that you have set are not met, then there will be no installation happening. You will get an error code, the admin gets an error code, and you can troubleshoot that. The next one is, if the requirements are met, then is the application already installed on that box? Remember, I was talking about the state-based detection method. We are able to understand the state. Is the application installed? Yes, then there is no need to, again, install that application. So a very smart way of doing it. If the application is not installed, then it will check for dependencies. Is there any dependency that is not installed? If there is, then Config Manager will first install dependencies and then install the application. And if all the dependencies are installed, there is no need for dependencies, it will go ahead and install that app. So it's pretty smart way of following this logic and providing an application for the user. So with that, you know, we also need to understand what is user device affinity and how that feature helps you. It's a logic that we have made in Configuration Manager 2012. It's a very important thing for us to make it people-centric solution. Basically, Configuration Manager is able to understand the context, the relationship between the user and the device. So based on that relationship, you can define applications and deploy those applications. So there are three different ways that Configuration Manager supports user device affinity. And that is, you can have a single primary user to a primary device, or you can have multiple primary devices per user, or you could also have multiple primary users per device. So the key here is Config Manager understands what is a primary device and what is not a primary device. Based on that, an admin can define local applications for a primary device, and if somebody is roaming to a loaner machine, going to a kiosk, then provision, let's say, a virtual app for that machine. So we use this user device affinity to provide that level of granularity. And how do you set that UDA? So user device affinity can be set using multiple methods. You can define that UDA. You can define a primary device for a user on Config Manager console. And the way you can do it is by providing usage threshold. Config manager will understand that user AJ has logged in 10 times within the last 2 days and able to understand and able to give you that information. And based on that, the admin can say, okay, this is the primary device of that user. Or it could be as part of operating system deployment, or you could also do it, end user could also do it through software catalog. So the admin can give power to the end user to define or to select their own primary devices. This could also be done on the client agent settings on the Configuration Manager console, where you specify a device and define primary devices for users as well. So multiple methods of setting user device affinity. Then we come to application catalog. Since we are talking about deployment, application deployment, what is the user experience? The user can get that application through a portal. We call it application catalog. You can go to this portal, end users can, and self-serve themselves for any application that they want. They can search for it. As I said, they can define their primary devices from there. So pretty good way of getting applications, completely different way of getting applications in 2012 in comparison to 2007. This is just a logic flow that shows how on-demand installation happens from the software portal or application catalog. So end user Melissa is trying to go to our website and trying to get an application. The website then will check Melissa's permissions, gets the client ID from the agent, and then hands it to the site server. So once that site server understands the context, will provide a policy for that client ID. And once that is done, the client evaluates the requirements. We are talking about requirement rules. The client evaluates that requirement. And if the requirements are met, then website initiates the installation. And once that is done, agent completes the installation and shows the status to the Configuration Manager console. So you are able to monitor the deployment. You are able to see what exactly has happened in that deployment in the console as well. So with that, I'm going to do the next part, which is I have created an application. Now I'm going to deploy that application to my collection. So here we are again in my Configuration Manager console. What I want to quickly show you is my client machine. I want to start from the client experience first. So on my client, this is my Windows 7 client, and as you can see here, this is the application portal that I was talking about, the application catalog. So I've gone to this website, and you can see here there are multiple groups that I can go and check different applications based on those groups. I can even search applications here, a pretty cool feature there. And then I can also define my devices. Remember, I was talking about UDA, user device affinity, and end user can do it as well. So this is where an end user can define my device. Right now, the administrator has not given me permission to do that, but it is configurable. I could go into the admin console and do that as well. All right, so other thing I wanted to show you is that Adobe Reader 9 right now has been deployed here. I can see that in the portal. I can see that here as well. What I hope to do is that I want to now deploy the latest version of Adobe Reader 10, and it should replace Adobe Reader 9 based on the supersedence rules that I have defined earlier. So to do that, I need to deploy this. So pretty easy to deploy. I can say deploy. I can use a collection. In this case, I'm going to deploy it to all users group. For those in the back, I just wanted to show collections. So I'm selecting collections here. This is where I will distribute content. So distribution of content as well as deployment is together. So through the deployment feature, I can select a distribution point. And two more things that I want to show you here is that we are making this available to the user, so we are not forcing it. So they will be made available, those applications will be made available in the portal. And I also have an option, the second option here, if you see, automatically upgrade any superseded version of this application. That means I can select, if I check this box, then Configuration Manager will automatically check if Adobe Reader 9 is there or older version is there, and then automatically upgrade it to 10. I don't want to do that. I still want to give users a chance to do it themselves. So I'll leave it be right now, and I will select all the defaults here. And there you go. So we have now deployed an app, Adobe Reader 10, and I can see that the app is deployed to all users. I can also see the summary of my content. As you can see, it's in right now, the content distribution is in progress. So while that happens, it takes a minute or two. As I said, my machine is slow today, but generally it takes a minute or two to propagate that content to the distribution point, and we should be able to see that application on the client itself. I can also go into content status and search for more content. So if I go here, as you can see now, within a minute, you can see success. So my content was distributed. And I can, in fact, go more deep into that data, into that monitoring. It will show me what the latest status is on that content, where it is distributed, where it is stuck. If I have any errors, then I will be able to see it as well. Now, with that, I want to go switch back to the user side and see if our application shows up in the app catalog as well. So let me refresh it. It's going to take a little bit of time to refresh it. Seems a little slow. But what should happen here is that we should be able to now see Acrobat Reader 10 in our portal. And since I didn't select that option, there you go. Since I didn't select that option to show both the versions, automatically Configuration Manager has replaced 9 with 10. So I don't see Adobe Reader 9 at all in the portal. All I see is Adobe Reader 10. So I'm going to install it now. And what is happening here is right now it's preparing for the installation, meaning it's trying to go and check for all requirement rules, evaluating all the requirements. If the evaluation fails, then it will not let me go ahead with the install. It will give me an error. But right now, it's, as you can see here, it's downloading the downloading and installing software. So with that, I should be able to, there you go, I'm not able to see Adobe Acrobat Reader 9 at all. And for some reason, it failed to install, but the first part of that demo, as you could see, that it was supposed to replace that application, so it took out Adobe Reader 9. Something must have happened in 10 that it didn't install, but ultimately the point was to show you that it's able to replace it with the new one, so it was able to take out Adobe Reader 9. If you get time, I can show you on my backup machine that it's already installed, so I can show you how it got installed. But for want of time, I'll switch back to my presentation, and we can come back and show you if that works. All right, so there you go. So we have seen how the application was deployed. Now we want to show more complex things that you can do, more granular things that you can do with different deployment types. And for that, Hassan is going to talk about what are the options and how you can get more complex and granular things within that application.
All right. Thank you, AJ. That was pretty good. Still awake? Yeah? No? Already gone? Stayed up too late watching the game last night? All right. Okay, so let me dive into it. So I'm going to take what build on what AJ has been talking to you about for the last 45 minutes or so, and show you how we take advantage of all those great things like the dependencies, the different deployment types, the different global expressions, etc., that we have allowed in the application model, and go ahead and build on top of it to give you a rich tool and a rich way to deploy your applications to your clients. I'm also going to be talking about what's new in SP1, so I'll tell you all the new features we have around deployment types, all the new features we have, PowerShell, etc. So let me start with deployment types. So what we tried, the core scenario that we tried to tackle here is, in 2007, you really had to customize your packages and programs to the device or to the user that's being that's going to be receiving those instances. So let me take an example. If you have an application that has an x64 version and a 32-bit version, what you had to do in Config Manager 2007 is create two packages in the program, deploy one to the 32-bit collection, deploy the other to the 64-bit collection. Now with the app model, the way you simplify that scenario is you create one application, you create two deployment types within that application, a 32-bit deployment type, a 64-bit deployment type, and you take advantage of the requirement rules. I add the requirement rule on the 64-bit DT to say, install this if my machine is 64-bit machine. On the 32-bit DT, DT is short for deployment types. I'm probably going to be repeating this for a while. So as I said, DT is short for deployment type. So you add a requirement rule on the 32-bit DT to send it to install it on 32-bit OSs. I deploy the application to all my systems if I wanted to go to all my systems. And the config man will take care of all those details for you and install the right type of application or right DT on the right machine. The other great example of this is if you have an app that's typically a little heavier, so something like Adobe Air or Adobe Flash, and Adobe Reader, and you actually want to, you don't want to install that app on every machine that the user logs into. You want to deploy that app to the user, but at the same time, you want it to be in full form, so in MSI form when the user is on their primary desktop, for example. But when they turn around and show up at the kiosk, you don't want them waiting for 15, 20 minutes for all of that stuff to happen. So you want the app V version to show up if they log into a non-primary machine. And again, the requirements, the application requirements, and all the app model details allow you to do that. In this example, I'm going to have a requirement rule saying, if I am on my primary machine, I'm going to go ahead and offer the MSI version of the application, the MSI DT. And if I show up on anything else, if the user shows up on any other type of machine, they're going to get a lighter version, so the app VDT, DT of that app. We have a few different the built-in deployment types. We have MSI script. We have application virtualization, the AppV deployment type. We also have a couple of mobile deployment types, so Windows Mobile 6.5, Nokia. This is in 2012. In System Center 2012 SP1, we'll be adding a few more types of deployment types, and I'll be walking you through those later. The other thing to keep in mind is that this whole framework of deployment types is made to be very extensible. We allow partners to build on top of this. So Citrix, for example, has a ZenApp connector for ConfigMan 2012, and you'll have a Citrix deployment type that's currently in production and should be ready shortly. Let me zone in on AppV and give you a little more details of what's coming or what's changing in AppV in 2012. So the first thing we did is we went ahead and took advantage of all the new features that the app model gives you, integrated that into AppV, so you'll be able to use application dependencies, requirement rules, etc. We also added selective publishing of components. So if you have an AppV package that contains all of Office and you don't want people to get Microsoft Access as well as Word and Excel, you just want them to get Word and Excel, you could go ahead and select just Word and Excel and be done with it that way. Instant icon gratification, that's a pretty big one for a lot of customers. This gives you the ability to just get the icons on lock and lock without having to log out and log back in. And finally, integration with RDS. Improvements around contents. We do a much better job of handling the content. We're making sure we reduce our footprint, the download footprint with AppV. This is all require. This all 2012 requires AppV 4.6 client. So new in SP1. The next few slides will have something up top in the corner there, talking about what's new in SP1. First thing that's new is we added a new deployment type for Windows 8 applications. So these are metro style line of business applications. Let me step back and give you a little bit of a background on that. By default, on most consumer Windows 8 applications, you will not be able to install any metro style applications that come from outside the store. By the store, I mean the Windows App Store. But if you have an enterprise machine and you meet the certain conditions, we're going to allow you to install Windows 8 metro-style applications that you developed in-house. We call this sideloading. There will be a lot more detail on sideloading coming up in the next few days from the Windows team as well as from us. Windows 8 apps fit right into the application model. It's just another DT. You select that, you provide the AppX package, and you're done. The next version or the next flavor of Windows 8 type apps is, say, there's productivity apps that will be in the store and you just don't want to waste your time repackaging those, doing content, distributing content for those, and owning those applications end to end. What we're going to allow you to do is send what we call a deep link to the users. So the user would see, instead of seeing install the application, they'll see a view in the store application. You'll be able to, as soon as they click that, the store would come up. They'll go straight to the landing page of that app, and they'll get that app directly from the store without you having to do much work. This is literally a long URL that you have to put in, and that's it. You're done. And finally, we added support for Mac OS X applications. We give you pretty basic functionality compared to what we give you on Windows and Windows 8 in general. We support DMG, MPKG, PKG, and .app versions of apps, but we'll only allow you to do required software distribution. You won't be able to have the custom software catalog experience, no available applications for Mac OS X. We support Snow Leopard and the other couple of animals that came after that. To do this, you'll have custom tools. You'll have to run a custom tool, the CM App Util, on a client. You will extract the package in there and will add all the metadata that's needed for the app model, and you'll have an output as a .cmmac format. You'll take that, put it into configman, and done. All right, so enough PowerPoint here. I'll go ahead and try to show you a demo of all of that. AJ has been busy here.
So while he was talking about different multiple deployment types, I felt bad that, you know, I couldn't install and show you the install happen. So I troubleshooted it. It was not a product problem. It was an end user error. I chose the wrong file for the first time. So thank you. Thankfully, I didn't get any hand fruits here. He was busy doing something else, so that's fine. But I just wanted to show you that the installation happened after I selected the correct file. Then it actually installed, and we got Adobe Acrobat Reader 10 on here.
All right. Thank you, AJ. Thanks. Well done. Have a seat now.
Thanks.
All
All right, let me go back to my server. And true story, I have a little problem I got to tell you about. So AJ, I work with AJ quite a bit. He and I are pretty good friends, but I have a little problem with him. He continues on using my machine. He has a whole bunch of applications that come down every time he logs into my client. And every time he gets in there, he loads all my machine with all this junk that I don't want him to do. I'm going to be able to solve this problem very easily using the new app model. So you saw how he deployed Adobe Reader 10. I'm going to go back to software library and go here. Notice how we have one deployment type here, Adobe Reader 10, and he has the MSI version. And of course, he targeted all of that to all users, so I'm going to go ahead and fix that. So the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to change that and add a requirements rule. I'm going to add the user requirement rule, and I'm going to say only give this the MSI version to users who are on their primary machines. So this takes advantage of the UDA. So primary device equals true. Let me zoom in, make sure you guys could see all of that. And that's basically it. So I'll go ahead and create that. Let me zoom out. Okay. What that has done is now the first thing the system is going to check is whether or not AJ is logged into his primary machine. If he is, he's going to be able to get the MSI version of the application. So now I still have to make him happy. I still have to make sure he gets the app B version of the application when he comes into my machine again. So I'm going to go ahead and create a, Prestige Media, wrong thing. I'm going to go ahead and create a new deployment type. And I'm going to choose the app V version of the application. So I'm going to go ahead here, select my app V package. Next, we're going to try to extract all the information from this package. That was done properly. I don't need to add any requirements. Dependencies. Here's an interesting one. Here's what AJ referred to as taking advantage of dependencies. I could take advantage here very easily. I could add a dependency on the app V client so that I make sure any machines that I target this to, if they don't have the app V client installed, the system is going to go ahead and automatically add the app V client in there. So I added that, and let me do a name. App V. All right. And caps lock. Next, and done. So that's basically all I had to do to solve my problem. Now, when AJ logs into my machine the next time, system is going to go in priority order. You notice that we have a priority order in here. Whoops. First, the system is going to evaluate the first priority order. It's going to find out that he's not on his primary machine. It's going to fall back to the second one, find the app V version of the app. If I don't have the app V client installed, it's going to go ahead and add that automatically, and problem solved. Let me jump to a more interesting app or a more office, something where I could show you a lot more around publishing. I talked to you about this for a second. So publishing, Office 2010, and I have an app V version of Office. You could see that with Office, I have a whole suite, and here I could just click on anything that I want available to the user, and if I don't want any of these things available, I could just get rid of them. So there you go. Pretty easy how these deployment types work. Another true story, I guess. I was talking to a customer just 2 days ago in the booth, and they were saying they went from 2007 where they actually had 352 different packages and programs, implemented the app model, implemented DTs, and now they're down to about 70 applications. Think about that for a minute. That's a 5 times reduction in the number of content that they have to manage and number of things that they have to deal with. So pretty powerful stuff. So let me look at what's coming in SP1. So I have a few examples I could show you here. So let's start and get the Mac deployment type out of the way. Deployment type, I keep clicking in the wrong place. And there you go. I have the Mac version of Skype in here. Content is pretty simple, and that's the CM Mac extension that I was telling you about. Detection methods all apply in here. Programs, just a simple installation program. User experience, not as rich as we have in MSIs or we have in Windows, but you get the idea. You have all the tools that are available to you for the app model in general. Let me get more interesting, and a better example would be the Windows 8 apps. So I'm looking for the approvals app here. So I have a Windows 8 Metro application in here. I have a Windows 8 Metro style deployment type. And what I'd like to do here is compare it to what I have with Adobe, just to give you an idea of what the two look side by side. So let me get the MSI version, and I'll open these side by side and give you a pretty quick view. So right off the bat, notice how many tabs are missing from the Metro style properties. You have a lot less complexity, a lot simpler model when you have Metro style applications. On content, pretty simple. We have APEX packages. That's the type of content that you do. Detection method. Notice that you can't even edit this. Windows 8 Metro style applications are pretty simple. The OS takes care of a whole bunch of these complexity, and it's going to be able to easily find out how to detect these apps for you without you having to do anything. The other thing to notice is that there is no programs on the Metro style DTs. The reason for that is, again, the OS handles all the installation details for you, and you don't have to worry about calling specific scripts on how to run MSIs, passing parameters, etc. And PowerShell is literally just one commandlet that you pass the APEX package, and boom, Windows 8 takes care of that for you. Requirements and dependencies are still the same. Those are things we think you could take advantage of. The dependencies are going to be pretty interesting in Metro-style applications. You wouldn't have a lot of inter-app dependencies. The most, or the usage here is probably mostly around the frameworks. Windows 8 Metro-style applications are going to require about 3 frameworks. The details of those will be published in the next few weeks in the Windows 8 part of the Windows 8 communication. All right, so that's basically all I wanted to show you with deployment types. Let me hop back to the PowerPoint and continue here. Right, a little bit more on SP1. AppV and SP1, we're building on top of what we did in 2012, even a little more. We added support for AppV 4.6 SP2, which is needed for Windows 8. So in SP in Configuration Manager 2012 SP1, we're adding support for Windows 8, so we need to add support for SP2. Same feature functionality, basically. And AppV 5.0, that's where we have pretty exciting stuff to show you. We add the new deployment type for AppV 5.0 applications. There's quite a bit of a difference between 4.x and 5.0, which required the new deployment type. And the main feature here that we're pretty excited to talk to you about is the connection group handling. So another pretty big problem with AppV is traditionally you want your AppV applications separate from each other. You don't want them to talk to each other, except in a few scenarios that become pretty cumbersome. So take the example, if you're using Outlook 2010 and Microsoft Link 2010, you're starting an email,
have AJ in the tool line, find him online, you right-click, you're able to start a link window directly with him and communicate with him over IM instead of send him an email. Another one for those of you who are using TFS, TFS and Excel work pretty well hand-in-hand together. Now, if both of those applications are AppV applications, they're not going to be able to talk to each other. We have a pretty powerful solution with AppV 5.0. We've simplified the way you were trying to deal with this with Dynamic Suites and 4.x, and we made it a lot more friction-free. We allow you to create what we call a virtual environment, and you're going to add these two applications there. You don't even have to deploy this virtual environment. The system will automatically know if you have these two applications on one machine. It's going to go ahead and do the grouping for you and make sure those two applications could talk to each other, even though they're AppV applications. The other pretty exciting thing in SP1 that's coming up in SP1 is PowerShell. We are adding pretty good support for PowerShell in SP1. The idea is we're trying to make sure that you could do almost everything that you could do through the console manually through PowerShell. Today, for you to be able to automate stuff, you almost need a PhD in WMI. Some of our MVPs in the room definitely do have PhDs in WMI, but a lot of people don't. So this is for you who can't do a lot of WMI. Pretty easy stuff. All you need is PowerShell 3.0 client installed, and you'll be able to run commandlets just the way you run them with any other PowerShell functionality. So let me get back to the demo environment and try to show you this. Back here and go back to the client. So first thing I want to say is this is pre-beta, pre-CTP environment that I have in here. This is exactly where I go off-roading, completely new code. We really wanted to show you this functionality, so basically off a dev machine and brought in here. I'm going to have at least 4 error messages. Keep track if you guys can do that, but bear with me. I think you guys would appreciate this functionality, and that's why we thought it would be a great idea to show you this. So I have on my machine, same client machine, I have Visio installed, and I have Word installed. Both of them are AppV applications. I'm starting my Word document in here. Got something from IT, and here is the Contoso IT plans for the next year. And that has a Visio diagram inside it, and I want to go ahead and edit that. I'm not too happy with the way they designed it. And here, great example of the two apps not being able to talk to each other. Visio cannot talk to Word. We need to solve that problem. So let me go ahead and shut Word down. First trick, let me start the task manager, and we have something we definitely do not need running. Don't worry, you do not need to do this by the time we're done, but this is my first of 4 tricks probably. So now with the client good to go, I'm going to go ahead and come back to my server. And as you can see, we add the new node under application management for AppV virtual environments. I'm going to go ahead and create a virtual environment. I'm going to call it productivity I'll add Visio in this. I'll add a couple of groups. So first one would be Microsoft Visio. I could select the DT, and I'll call it Visio and add. And the second group I'll add will be for Word. Add this. And okay. So there. We have a couple of groups in here. We have Visio and Word in one virtual environment. And that's basically all I need to do. Oh. You guys are still awake. Awesome. Word, and I'll edit that. And I do have Adobe instead. Delete. Add Word
And I have all of Office in here, not just Word. And that's basically it. So now any clients that have those two applications independently deployed as AppD applications are going to be able to take advantage of that virtual environment that I just created. That's a second by design error message. I'm going to go ahead and kick off the configuration manager. I'm going to kick off evaluation. You guys are pretty familiar with this. So I'll start a user policy retrieval. I'm just trying to speed up the application. Again, you don't have to do this in a real environment. You just have to. I'm just doing it to speed up all the system internals. Pretty standard trick. All right, and let me run that again just for good measures. And app deployment evaluation cycle. So we don't have too much time left. So instead of doing a song and a dance, well, there you go. This is already started. I was going to jump in and do some filler, but not needed. So automatically detected that there's some changes. It went ahead and downloaded the virtual environment that is required. It's going to, it's still failing on some other thing. That's number three if you're counting, right? But I have a couple more. By now, everything has succeeded, even though it says it hasn't. I could go ahead and double check, do a sanity test in here. The connection group is already here. So this is a quick look into the AppD client. It's telling me I have a connection group. That's the virtual environment that I created. Everything should be working properly. I have a couple more error messages up my sleeves. I'm going to go ahead and start the same application again, and we'll see if everything worked better. Number four. I'll click OK, start this again, and you will finally see that everything is working OK. Pretty slow, AppD on the start. And I have my Contopso package. This time I'm going to try again to edit the Visio. And if everything worked well, I'm going to be able to do that. Maybe one more error message if you guys are lucky. And then I'll get that going. Hopefully it was worth the pain. Number five. And now I got it. There you go. Now I'm able to do this. Thank you. As I said, I'm sorry for all the error messages. I knew exactly which ones they're coming up, but I thought you guys would appreciate that. Give you a kind of a feel of what we go through as we're testing stuff as it comes up. This stuff has already been fixed back in Redmond. Of course, we've been here for a week, so stuff has evolved. Let me show you something that has a lot less problems. Next, I'm going to try to show you the PowerShell functionality that we added. So, pretty simple example here. I want to automate, I'm creating collections, device collections specifically. I have a few machines that I just bought, and I want to create a collection with those machines. I know the machine name. I want to add them to a specific new collection. And then usually the way you do that is you go and add direct membership rules or direct membership for each one of those machines. Do it however number of machines you have to do. Pretty manual process. Probably takes you a lot of time. And your brain is probably shut by the time you're all done with all of that. So we try to address that problem. We have PowerShell integration. So let me go ahead and find, instead of typing in the interest of time, I have a quick Word or notepad document with the instructions that I have in here. I'll paste those in PowerShell. And you saw how I launched PowerShell just straight from the console and paste. Let me give you a quick look of what I just did. Pretty basic stuff. I'm getting the collection. I'm adding
I'm creating a new device collection. I'm limiting it with the all systems collection, and I'm importing the list of new systems that I just bought from a CSV and just adding each one of those devices into that new collection directly from the CSV. So we'll go ahead and click return on that. So if I go here and I refresh my list, I should see my new collection. And there you go. I have my devices from a CSV. It's still evaluating. If I give it a second, it should show that I have three systems in there. F5. And there. Three systems, my devices from CSV. Couple clicks, couple PowerShell commandlets, and I'm done. Awesome. So that's basically it. We're exactly on time. Summary of all you've seen, whole bunch of very powerful application model that you can take advantage of in 2012, and a whole bunch of exciting stuff. I assure you it will be bug-free by the time we ship it, but coming in SP1 for you to enjoy. So with that, we'll probably take questions offline. If you guys have a question, come up here. We'll be using the help of our colleagues here. And thank you so much. Have a great day tomorrow. Appreciate it.
Thank you, folks.